The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Should unbelievers be referred to as children of God? What an interesting question. One we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, as you probably know, we are taking questions from listeners just like you. And I want to remind you how you can reach out and have your questions answered by Bob and Sean. You can reach us by email, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, here we are to answer some questions. Think about theology. Think about the Bible. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes it's a struggle sometimes, you know, to think through all these issues, and you give an answer and then you get pushback, which is good. I like pushback because it forces you to rethink and to...
You like pushback. Okay,
good. Well, I mean, I like it in the way that, you know, after you do a workout, you're like really sore. It's kind of enjoyable to be a little bit sore, but on the other hand, you are sore, so it's,
right.
You know.
Well, my knee's hurting right now because I overdid it on the weekend doing my race walking, and so now I've been paying for the last 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we pay after we write a blog or something. But that's good. No, honestly, it's good. It's just a good discipline because if you're not being challenged, if you're not thinking about your faith, how do you know you really believe what you believe? Like, you and I were both in a debate team.
Right.
One of the challenges of debate team is you're supposed to argue for a side that you don't necessarily believe in. You should be able to just argue for whatever position is put in front of you. Right.
You had to argue both the affirmative and the negative.
Right. And the benefit of that is it just helps you rethink your own position. Okay, what are the arguments from the other side? If you understand those arguments, then you can understand what the responses are. And if you understand the responses, you understand your own position better.
Well, let me give you an example. I've read a number of people arguing for lordship salvation. And
exactly.
When I read what they say, I've thought in my mind or even told you before, I could defend lordship salvation better than these
better,
people.
Better, absolutely, yes.
I mean, I think I could do a pretty good job of it.
Right.
Because I can take the scriptures that seem to support their position and just take them out of context and go with words that sound like they're saying what they're arguing.
Right.
And the truth is, sometimes when they make their defense, they're really not using the best arguments.
Right, right.
But if you don't understand people who disagree with you, then you don't understand your own position as well as you probably should.
Yeah, that's what John Stuart Mill said in On Liberty. Anyways, all that to say,
yes,
I appreciate pushback because it forces me to rethink. Okay?
So do you have a pushback question?
I have a pushback question.
Okay.
This is from Natalie. It's kind of a pushback question. She says, I just listened to one of your recent podcasts about eternal salvation and children's ministry, and you stated that while we are all God's creatures, only believers are children of God. So she has a question that I'm going to ask in a second. But we have said that. I know I have said that we're all creatures of God, but only believers are children of God. And I base that on a verse like, let's say, John 1:12, where we're adopted if you believe. You can be adopted as a child of God.
Right.
Or Galatians 3:26 says, for you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Right.
So you become a son through faith in Christ. But as I was reading her email here, I did think about one verse in Acts 17. This is Paul's famous use of a pagan philosopher. And he says this in Acts 17, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. And so there is like that one verse, I think, in the back of my mind. Well, Paul kind of said we're God's offspring. It seems like he's confirming that. And it's I think it's the word genos, right? Something like that.
What verse is it? Acts
17:28.
28, let's see. Yeah, it's a genos, which basically is race.
Mm-hmm.
It can't even be translated generation, but here it's probably race.
So it's not exactly the word for son, either little son or older son. But it's kind of where God's... So I don't know. What does that mean? You know, does it mean we're his... Could someone push back and say, well, no, Paul says we are all of God's children in some sense. And I guess maybe the more refined position is to say, well, there's a special sense in which believers are children of God. and another sense in which non-believers are somehow the offspring of God.
Yeah,
what do you think?
There might be an exception, but I don't think so. Tekna, the word for child, I don't believe ever refers to everyone.
Yeah.
Children is a reference to believers. And even if there is some, like if this were to have Tekna here, he would simply be quoting this pagan poet to say there's some truth in that, in a loose sense of child.
Right.
In the sense of we're his creation.
Yeah.
He's our creator. But I don't think there is a use like that. And the other thing is, Jesus said you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you're born again, as you mentioned in John 1, 12 and 13, is you become a child of God.
Yeah.
You're not a child of God before you're born again. You become a child of God.
So then, well, how would you take Paul here in Acts 17? So we're kind of like his offspring in a loose sense, or what?
Well, genos, I'm not sure if offspring is the best way to translate it. Maybe people or race would be something like that.
When I looked it up, the different definitions were offspring, family, race.
Yeah, so we're part of...
All of those are weird, by the way, kind of options. I think this is a verse that Mormons go to show that, you see, we're all gods. We're his offspring.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're his genos.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what the best translation here would be, but I wouldn't translate it children because it's going to give confusion to verses like John 1:12.
Right.
But what I would say is that Paul is simply saying, he's identifying with the audience by saying, hey, this pagan poet has stumbled onto something here.
Right.
We're all from God.
Right.
We're all part of the people that he has created. And it's not, I mean, we could separate out by countries, we can separate out by races, but this term genos here, if it's used in this way, would mean we're all one race.
Yeah.
We all, I was reading an article just now on critical race theory, against critical race theory, and how it's influencing the church. They pointed out that all of us are descendant from Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
and also, of course, from Noah,
mm-hmm.
that genetically we share the same genetic makeup, and
right.
that genetic studies show that,
mm-hmm.
that it's not like the genetic makeup of, let's say, Anglos is different genetic makeup than Hispanics.
Right.
Or
we're all Homo sapiens.
Africans or whatever. Right. We all are the same race.
Yeah.
Or if you want to call it in that sense, we're all the same species.
Right. Well, that brings me now to what Natalie's question is. So we kind of did some background there.
Well, we haven't even gotten to the question yet.
No, not yet. Not yet. This is kind of my question based on her email for myself, but it does tie in. So she says, I was curious about whether or not children are considered children of God when they're too young to believe consciously. Aren't children automatically saved at a certain point before they can choose to believe? For example, if a newborn baby dies, I believe they go to heaven. So wouldn't they be considered children of God? If so, does that mean they can lose that position until they gain it again by believing in Jesus for eternal life when they're old enough to do so?
Yeah, you see, Natalie is taking the logical extension of what she's talking about and saying, okay, you start out as children of God,
right.
and then when you reach the age of accountability, if you don't come to faith, then you stop being a child of God, but then you can become a child of God again.
Right. So she's being consistent. That is a consistent position.
But a better position is this. No, children do not have everlasting life
mm-hmm.
unless they believe in Christ. Now, children can believe. Jesus says, permit the children to come unto me, the little children to come unto me. And he talks about little children who believe in him.
Right.
And so it's possible for, let's say, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 9-year-old to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal destiny, for
right.
everlasting life.
Right.
And if so, then they're a child of God. But it's also possible that someone can go to age 20 and not yet have come to faith, which was me. I came
right.
to faith at age 20.
Right, right.
But if you die before age 20, or whatever you think the age of accountability is, a lot of people would say it's 13, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
If a child dies before that and they've not yet believed, well then, yes, she's right. They're going to go to heaven. But her assumption is they go to heaven and are born again and are given everlasting life. I don't think so.
Right.
Natalie, I would say they go to heaven and they wait the millennium. And when the millennium comes, They're going to live out their natural life in the millennium in a natural body, and then they'll either come to faith or they won't come to faith.
Right. So I think we answered this question, or we treated it. I mean, it comes up. This question comes up.
Yeah.
And I think you answered it just a few episodes ago, probably. And you said, yes, you speculated that it could be that a baby who dies does go to heaven, just as Natalie says. But what interestingly, you said, but that doesn't mean that they have eternal life, and that
right.
doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean that they become, I guess you would say, a child of God at that point.
Right.
Either.
Well, you even raise a point I think I did bring up on an earlier broadcast, is we're not specifically told the place they go is the third heaven. Maybe
right.
there's another option.
Right.
Maybe
right.
instead of going to the third heaven, maybe they go to some other place where all of those who died before the age of accountability are together.
Right.
I don't know.
We don't know. The Bible doesn't really say.
They're clearly not going to Hades right now, the place of the unsaved dead.
Right.
They're not going to be in torment in Hades. But where they exactly go, we're not sure. Probably the third heaven's a good guess, but it's not guaranteed that they're going to automatically be given everlasting life. In fact, I think it's more likely they're just going to come back in the millennium.
Right. So young children are creatures of God, and they do not become children of God in like the Galatians 3:26 sense or John 1:12 sense until they believe. And they don't become that if they go to heaven, if that's where they go, if they die in childhood. They'll only become a child of God if what you say, and this is a speculation too, that they come back in the millennium and they live out their life, natural life in the millennium and come to faith there. But that's speculation.
And
too.
By the way, a lot of people say, yeah, but that can't be because Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for man once to die and then comes the judgment. And they say people can't die twice. But if a person dies before the age of accountability, that's an open question. And also, if God raises people from the dead, they're obviously going to die twice.
Right.
And that's happened before.
Lots to think about, Natalie. Lots to think about. We'd love to hear follow-up questions.
And that wasn't much of a pushback question, really. I mean,
no, I guess it wasn't.
The tone was nice.
I built it. No, Natalie's very nice.
I was getting ready for some kind
of... No, Natalie's very nice. Sometimes it's just a gentle push.
Right. It was a gentle nudge.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how to do Lord's Supper. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.